After Yaakov is taken in to Lavan's house, the Torah tells us that he was truly in love, smitten with Rachel. And as a result, he proposes an arrangement. He says to Lavan, I'll work for 7 years if you will give me your daughter Rachel's hand in marriage. Lavan agrees to this proposal, and the Torah then tells us 2 psukim later that in fact that's what occurred. V'yavod Yaakov b'Rachel sheva shanim. Yaakov was willing to work for Lavan for 7 years so that he could marry Rachel. V'yiyu be'enav k'yamim achadim b'ahavaso oto. Ota, excuse me. And those years seemed to him like very few days because of his love for her. So on the one hand, we are taken by, you know, a true and perhaps the first genuine love story that we see described in the actual Torah text. And yet, there's something obviously surprising and difficult to understand about the conclusion of this pasuk. Usually when a person loves something and they have to wait for it, or for that person, as the case may be, so you may not have a choice and you have to wait, but dafka, the waiting, feels very, very slow. It's very hard for the time to pass. And whatever amount of time it is, because you love or want that thing or person so much, it actually feels, usually, and I think we all know this from experience, like much longer than it actually was. You waited an hour, it felt like a day. You waited a week, it felt like a month. You waited a month, it felt like a year. It's you know, time goes very, very slowly the more you want something. That's generally our experience, right? And yet, the Torah testifies that it was exactly the opposite. Because Yaakov loved Rachel so much, the time went fast. That doesn't seem to make any sense, and it certainly does not correspond to our general experience. So the great Musar master, Rav Elia Lapyan, in his commentary to the Chumash Leiv Eliyahu, explains that this pasuk is actually hinting at a profound musar and really psychological insight, and that it really all depends on what you mean by love. And he suggests a illustration, almost a metaphor, to make his point. Imagine a person goes to a restaurant, the waiter comes over and says, what would you like? And the person tells the waiter, I love fish. So the waiter immediately goes back to the kitchen, places the order, and they begin to prepare the food. Meanwhile, at the table right next door, right next one table over, a very innocent, naive person overhears this conversation. And after hearing the person say how much he loves fish, he expects that the waiter is shortly going to bring him a nice aquarium filled with beautiful fish so that this person can look at the beautiful fish, he can feed them, he can enjoy looking at them and interacting with them. After all, he said he loves fish. And then, sometime later, much to his dismay, they don't bring out an aquarium, they bring out a plate with a fish on it. And then the person promptly takes his fork and knife, dives right in and cuts up the fish. And the person's aghast. How could you do that? He yells at him. This is what you do to something that you love? You don't love fish. If you loved fish, you could never do that. Right? Imagine, he says, I love my dog. Could I bring myself to hurt the dog? And so we use that term, right? People say they love their pet, they love their animal. They would never hurt the person. And yet the very same word we use when we say, I love fish, and we're happy to cut it up, kill it, and eat it. So what's going on? So it says Rav Elia Lapyan, you have to understand. In this case, that innocent, naive person was really onto something quite profound. Usually when we say, in the general world, the way we use the term love, what we're really saying is that the person loves himself or herself. And since the person enjoys and gets pleasure from, in this example, the fish, so he allows himself to eat the fish. There's nothing wrong, per se, with eating the fish, says Rav Lapyan. But we have to be more accurate and self-aware of what we mean and what we really love. In general, people think that love is the word that describes that wonderful feeling that we have in the presence of that special person, that special someone. Or even being with great friends whose company we enjoy. We get some special, incredibly meaningful, deep, resonant pleasure from being in the company, spending time with such people. That's what means love. Says Rav Elia Lapyan, but that's not real love. Because real love is when you care so much for a person that you want to give to them and try to help them. It's not about what you get from them, by what you can give to them. He continues and he explains, and this is actually an insight which another of the great Musar masters, a slightly younger contemporary of his, the Michtav Meliyahu of Eliyahu Dessler, who was born about 20 years after him, both born towards the end of the 19th century and made great impacts in the first part of the 20th century. And the Michtav Meliyahu as well also makes this point that the Hebrew word ahava is from the root, is from the shoresh hav, which means to give. As if to say and to convey this deep point, that the focus of true love is not on what pleasure and benefit you receive, but on the pleasure and benefit you can bestow. Real love is about hav, it's about giving, it's not about taking. So in light of this insight and a deeper understanding of the word love, again, the Torah goes out of its way in multiple psukim here to describe how Yaakov loved Rachel. So says Rav Eli Lapian, now we can understand what's going on. When you really love yourself, and it would give you great pleasure if you had a certain item, a certain car, a house, a vacation, and waiting and waiting and waiting, it feels like forever because you're going without that pleasure that you so desperately want. But in Yaakov's case, it was true and genuine love, which was not about him, but about her, about Rachel. Says the Lev Eliyahu, says Rav Eli Lapian, in that case, the time didn't go slow, but in a certain sense, it flew by. It's not 100% clear if he means that before they got married, he was able to still give her and bestow things upon her, and that's why it went fast, or he just means that by not being self-absorbed, by not focusing on yourself, it helps the time go by. But either way, whatever exactly the explanation is on that last point, the insight, I think, is very profound. That this story doesn't just teach us and share an inspiring love story, but also is a window into what genuinely means to love.